Welcome to the show, Thursday edition, Morning Drive. Nick Kale out. Not really sure why. Derek Mason's here. Josh Upton's here. Chase McCabe is out because he's in a casino, probably currently still. We don't have any updates on where he's at, but Sausage Fest, Brodeo 2019, with 14 dudes in a cabin in the mountains. So that's where Darren and Chase and like 12 other dudes are right now. But they went up a night early. If you missed our story from the first segment of the show, they went up the night early to hang out at the – just be at the casino all night until they could check in today, which I'm assuming is like noon, 1, 2 o'clock-ish. I don't know what they're – like, it sounds awful to me. I don't know about you, Derek.
Yeah.
And we have no update on where Chase McCabe is.
Man.
Has he eaten the shrimp out of the buffet at the casino, which is not recommended on the show?
That may be why we haven't heard from him.
Yeah, that's a possibility. Also, as I was listening to the promo there during the commercial break, I know Darren's on Sausage Fest party tour here. Willie is out as well. So Kale and Steve, I believe, right in during the midday show, which should be a ton of fun.
Corey Curtis and Kayla Anderson.
Oh, Corey, that's right, not Steve. Corey's in, and Corey will join us in 15 minutes. Derek, are we the only two people that care about this channel right now? Because Stillman's out, Ian Safar's out, Chase is out, Nick's out, Darren's out, Willie's out.
It's just us.
You and I are committed. I and Floyd.
We're committed.
And Marquise.
And Marquise is here.
We're committed to the cause, man. Whatever that cause is.
I would just like our boss. I would like our bosses to take note.
Yeah.
That Derek and I are here today.
The 102.5.
Okay.
The game calls. We are down for the cause.
Now, we will throw all of you under the bus,
yes.
But we are here. We're team players.
Hey, when you miss a day, you fair game.
Derek, we want to push them to be better.
Exactly.
That's what this is. That's what teammate is. We're lifting them up, not tearing them down.
Yeah, we're always going to lift them up. That's what we're about at this station.
Vandy boys with a big win last night, of course. One win away from – they beat Mississippi State. They'll probably have to face Mississippi State again at some point. But one win away now from getting into the College World Series final. You got the U.S. Women's National Team coming up today at 2 o'clock against Sweden. That's pretty cool if you're into that. You got the NBA draft coming up tonight, NHL draft tomorrow. The news on Matt Duchene was that the low-end conservative estimate of asking price for Matt Duchene yesterday was reported by Darren Drager, which, again, take it for what it is $9.5 million. I don't think that's far-fetched. He may be wrong on the number, but he's pretty close. What does that mean for Preds fans? Is he going to be looking at a $10 million a year contract, and how can the Preds make that work? I feel like the NBA draft is the biggest story, but that Duchene number just keeps coming. I keep coming back to that Duchene number, and I'm looking at Eric Karlsson's contract, which is, I believe, 8 years, $11 million per for the Sharks. You're looking at Kevin Hayes' contract, which is 5 years and $7 million, over $7 million per there who recently signed or the contract has been agreed to. And the thing it keeps telling me, Derek, is that this contract, this salary cap for the NHL is going to go up because the TV contract is being negotiated, and it sounds like ESPN could be pushing back into that. Who knows who's getting back into the NHL world? It's growing right now from a popularity standpoint, and I wonder if all of these owners and GMs are looking at these. Like, it's hard for me not to look at these salary numbers as big as they are and say they're not anticipating a major jump in the salary cap in the very near future.
Well, they have to be because if you're paying guys $11 million per year and, you know, you have others right behind Karlsson, then you have to believe that these owners or shareholders, whatever you want to call them, are believing that because of the salary cap, the new salary cap, because there's a potential to have another partner or a different partner, meaning ESPN. Now they're with Fox.
NBC.
NBC, yeah.
And I don't know that for a fact.
If indeed there's another bidder in here some way, somehow, even with that, it's going to drum up the price. Because if you're only bidding against yourself – You can only push the price up so much. But if you're bidding against someone else, then the price can be a little bit higher than what it would have been had that second entity or party had not been a part of the game. So we're just assuming that, you know, the salary cap's going to be much larger than what it is. So these teams feel that they can give, you know, an extra $2-3 million to a guy, knowing that, you know, in year two or three at a contract, or three or four at a contract, they can pay for it.
Yeah, and it seems like we had probably eight or nine guys last year that hit the salary cap at $10 million plus. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've already seen Carlson re-up at that number. There's a chance Duchesne hits that number. Mitch Marner from Toronto is probably going to hit that number. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could see the number of guys at $10 million plus jump pretty quickly here in the next couple of years. And I don't, again, I don't know what kind of gymnastics David Poile has to do, cap gymnastics, to get to the number that allows him space to sign Matt Duchesne. That's the other part of this. Mm-hmm. Number one, I think it's like the Mariota contract. And if you see Mariota signed at $28 million per, I think everyone's going to lose their minds. Mm-hmm. I personally wouldn't. I think he's good enough to have earned it. But it's not about, to me, it's not about the money. It's about the salary cap. And mm-hmm. as long as the salary cap in the NFL keeps skyrocketing and going up every year, Patrick Mahomes could make $40 million. The top-end quarterback right now is Russell Wilson, who makes $35 million. Mm-hmm. If Marcus made $27 today, he'd be the 7th or 8th highest-paid quarterback. And in 3 years, he'd be like the 15th highest-paid quarterback. Because mm-hmm. it'll all rotate through, right? And the cap will go up, and people will keep getting bigger deals. So you have to look at Matt Duchesne's $10 million tag in the same way. Like mm-hmm. today, if he signed that deal with the Predators, we would be in, there'd be lots of sticker shock. Mm-hmm. But if the salary cap goes up and everybody else's deals keep going up and all these other players jump him, then in 2 years we're looking at that deal and going, oh, well, okay, it's about right.
It's not like a bad deal.
Like the Johansson deal, when we all saw 8 years, $8 million per, like that, there was a lot of sticker shock, I think, in this city for Ryan Johansson. He had just come off, of course, the Stanley Cup final run where he was instrumental to getting them to that point. There's a lot of sticker shock. Now you look at a top line number one center at $8 million, and you're going, oh, that's not bad.
No, not at all.
Not bad at all. He's not even a top 20, top 25 highest paid player in the sport. Not even top 15 in his position, really. Or right
How
around
it happened
there.
So fast.
It just go. That's the point. It just, in 2 years, you can go from one of the highest paid players at your position to middle of the pack. Mm-hmm. And that's just the nature of the sports right now.
In 2 years, he could potentially go from one of the highest paid at the sport to not even the highest paid at his position on his own team.
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
Exactly. And then that of course raises questions to make room, because you got about $7 million and some change right now in salary cap space. We've mentioned this. You got to, if you want to re-sign Brian Boyle, you're going to re-sign Colton Sissons and Rocco Grimaldi. You're probably talking about $3-4 million between those three guys. You're down to $3 million and some change. Mm-hmm. Where are you going to come up with the other $7 million for Matt Duchesne? So you're going to have to do some. Make some moves, whether it's Kyle Turris, P.K. Subban, or Nick Bonino. It feels like those are the three most likeliest candidates. You're going to have to do something, because even if you trade Bonino mm-hmm. at $4 million, that doesn't get you to $10 million in space. And that doesn't include Roman Josi's contract next season. That would mm-hmm. not, obviously not this year, but the following year it would kick in if and when they renegotiate that deal.
Well, they have a bunch of, you know, maneuvering to do if indeed Duchesne is the guy they really want. They're going to have to, you know, move some of the chess pieces and try to figure out a way to make this thing work, or figure out a way to, you know, to win the game. And if they can get Duchesne and still be in a position to compete, because I think they're going to be in a position to compete regardless, but to compete for a Stanley Cup once they get in the finals, once they get in the playoffs. If they can keep themselves at that level and still make a deal, position themselves to make a deal for Duchesne, I think it's a win-win across the board. I guess the big question is, you know, if Duchesne's starting, what is being said is true, or even if it's 50% true, that 9.5 is the starting point, then, you know, you got to figure out, you know, how much can you go over that 9.5, or can you get him to take sort of a discount with a couple of carrots dangling over his head? I know we had one of the callers dangling the whole tax thing over his head. I think, you know, agents that know numbers, that understand numbers. They'll look at it and say, okay, but, you know, you got to give us something else. You can't just dangle the tax, you know, implications over our head and think that's going to be the end all be all. And I'm pretty sure whoever the agent is or representative, they are smart individuals or a smart company, firm that they would not just look at the implications on your tax, on your taxes, and let that be the end all be all. Even though it would be, you know, even though it would be a nice little, you know, chunk of change that you would be able to get or keep during the year. But you got to understand, too, it's not like these guys are solely working in one city. They're working in other cities. And, you know, yes, you're getting a break here, but you're not getting a break when you play
San Jose, Kings, Ducks.
Exactly. Yeah. You're not getting a break when you play in those teams or when you play on the East Coast.
Well, Florida, though, you get some breaks. There's a couple states without income tax that helps. But I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. I feel like, though, because the NHL draft is tomorrow night and because all the GMs are getting into Vancouver and they're all going to be in the same hotel with all their consigliaries, right, all their right-hand guys, capologists and calculators and everything, they're all going to be there making deals. And we're starting to see all these contracts come out. I am almost as excited about watching these things happen because I think the Preds are in such a unique situation where they're in a good enough spot to be a Stanley Cup contender. They've got some pieces they do need to move. We've heard David Poile say he wants to make some changes. Mm-hmm. And they've got targets that we've been clearly coveting for a while. It makes it feel like the NBA offseason. Maybe not in the NHL as a whole, but in the Predators world, if you're a Preds fan, this offseason, which kind of has already started and kicks off really in earnest tomorrow, it feels like this is an NBA-ish type of offseason for the Preds. It's very dramatic for me. I don't know about you, but there's a ton of things that could happen. If you told me Nick Bonino and P.K. Subban are traded, I wouldn't think that that's that big of a shock. Mm-hmm. Kyle Turris is traded, but P.K. Subban's back. Nick Bonino gets traded. Wouldn't be that big of a shock. None of them are traded. Wouldn't be that big of a shock. Signs Matt Duchene, then has to figure out what to do with the salary cap to make it work. Wouldn't be shocked. All of this stuff is interesting to me. It feels very NBA-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Again, not the rest of the NHL, but just the Preds, and in this offseason, I'm into it from a standpoint of, there probably needs to be a shakeup. There's things that could happen. We've pointed to all of them. And generally, when we point to something for a long time with David Poile, it's something totally different that he does. He's going to trade Philip Forsberg for Connor McDavid. And we're all going to go, what? How did that happen? Corey Curtis is going to join us when we come back. A lot of stuff to discuss with him. We've got a lot of things going on, all things Nashville from News 2. Corey Curtis will join us when we come back right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
You know what would be surprising, people, is that if all the men listeners out there don't go see my good friends at Cool Springs MD, and this is why it would be a surprise, because if you're dealing with hormone deficiencies or imbalances and you do not choose to go see Dr. Jeffrey Lodge and that experienced staff over at Cool Springs MD, then something's seriously wrong with you, man. I chose to go see him because I was feeling a little lethargic. You know, didn't have as much energy, and I thought it was, you know, maybe because I'm working out too much, maybe because I'm staying up late, because I like to burn a candle on both ends. I stay up late, get up early, and that at 45, you just can't do that. But after going to see my good friends at Cool Springs MD, I feel much better. And this is what they're going to do. They're going to give men treatments required to improve their quality of life. Cool Springs MD have already helped many men of Brentwood, Nashville, and the surrounding areas in Tennessee with improving their immune systems, like me, energy levels, cognitive functions, and more. They are there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy, enriched life. And there's no better time to achieve a healthier lifestyle than now. Men, what are you waiting on? Make an appointment. Pull out your cell phones. Pull out a pen and a pad. If you're sitting at your desk, write down these digits, all right? There's 7 plus the 3 with the 615. What is that? 10. You know it. 615-660-6900. That's 615-660-6900. Or visit our website, and that's coolspringsmd.com.
Thank you.
Welcome back, Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Nick Cale out. A little under the weather. Derek, you still have not given me your rant on that, but hold on to that. We'll do that next segment.
Yeah.
Chase McCabe, who knows where that man is right now? No idea. Josh Upton filling in admirably. And you can always tell the music is a little different when Chase is out. It's always a little bit more unique, a little bit more mellow. Corey Curtis joining us here from News 2. Corey, how are you, my friend?
I am adequate, thank you. How are you guys today?
Every morning we're just striving to be slightly better than average.
okay.
That is the goal on the show. First,
let me know when you get there.
Yeah. That one stung a little bit, Corey.
Boom, roasted.
That one stung. Tune into all that snark coming up later today at 10 o'clock. So Matt Duchesne number looks like it's projected. Again, we're just reports saying, hey, conservatively in the $9.5 million range, let's just call it 10 to make it easy for everybody to understand. At $10 million per year, if that is an option for David Poile, what is he going to do to make that even possible?
Well, I mean, he's got to pay Roman Josi, right? So somebody's got to go, number one. I mean, they're going to have to save some money. And the guy who makes the most money is who?
PK
Subban. So, you know, I think, you know, that's the, if he wants to add to that offensive end and he's got Dante Fabro coming up, you know, I think that's the move that makes the most sense. Not from an aspect that PK isn't good enough, not from an aspect that PK doesn't fit in, from the aspect that PK's older and makes the most money. And if he wants to bring this guy in, he needs to free up money, and he's also got a guy coming up the line to replace him, you know, in the Preds' defensive top four. So it just makes the most sense. So we'll see if he can get that pulled off in the next 24 to 36 hours.
Now, Corey, we've been discussing how do you go about orchestrating a deal that would send PK Subban to whatever team it is in the NHL. Because in theory, you know, there's been a lot of speculation that Duchesne wants to come here. Obviously, the Preds want Duchesne, but it's been said that the sticker price starts at $9.5 million. How do you think the fan base would feel if you dealt PK Subban, not necessarily for another top-line player, but for future assets, whether it's, you know, guys that immediately go to the farm league or first round draft picks that would eventually go to the farm league when you make those picks, and it sets up your organization years down the line, not necessarily right now, but you don't drop out of being a playoff contender.
Well, I mean, I think you have to look at it differently. You know, that trade for if you do trade Subban away for future assets, you're also trading him away for the ability to sign Matt Duchesne.
Mm-hmm.
So that has to be figured into part of that exchange. So for me, I would look at it and say, we traded away Subban and we got a 1 and 2 2s and Matt Duchesne, because those picks aren't going to cost you that much money. And so you're getting the salary exchange and the player that you would not be able to afford otherwise. So, I mean, I think you have to look at the whole exchange. I think Pred fans, you know, would be excited from the aspect that, you know, we've been talking about Matt Duchesne for what, 3 years now?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, and I mean, Predator fans handled it when Weber got traded for Subban. I mean, Weber was one of the two biggest names in Nashville hockey when he got traded out here, and fans quickly embraced that trade. So, you know, I think the fan base for the Preds, you know, it's a group that's so fervent that I think they know what's going on. And I think that, you know, unless he gives him away, I think fans are going to embrace that move pretty strongly.
Well, it would have to be to your point, it would have to be tied to Matt Duchesne, for it to make any sense at all. Corey Curtis joining us here. Vanderbilt baseball. Let me ask you this. Why is it that you think Vanderbilt baseball, they are on the verge of another national championship. They've got one more win, and they get to the College World Series final. Probably going to have to go through Mississippi State again, I would guess. So it's not a done deal, but they probably are going to make it to the final in the winner's bracket. It's free parking. It's a cheap ticket. It's a nice stadium. It's one of the best products in the country at its sport. We are talking about Nashville as an MLB market. Why is it that college baseball and that Vanderbilt baseball has not resonated with people in this city, that it's so that people aren't as interested as maybe I want them to be?
Well, I mean, you know, there's a nice space behind it, but it's still college baseball. And largely, you know, the schools that college baseball is huge in, that's all there is there. You know, what else is there in Fayetteville? What else is there in Starkville? I mean, there's not a whole lot going on in those towns. So when you have a good product like that, it's going to attract people. You know, in Nashville, they've got competition. And Vanderbilt, not Tim Corbin, Vanderbilt has always separated itself from the city and made itself this little island, you know, and they haven't ever embraced Nashville or really tried to be Nashville's team. You've heard coaches say it from time to time, but the schools never embraced the idea of marketing itself to Nashville. And so, you know, you've always had, you know, a little bit of a disconnect. And then, you know, like I said, bottom line, we've got the NFL, we've got the NHL, you've got a big orange monster 2 hours away that's still just clamoring for an opportunity to explode. And Vanderbilt as a whole has just lacked that connection with a majority of the city.
Now, of course, speaking of UT, obviously the NBA draft is tonight. I wish we would have had an NBA team here in town, but we don't. I don't even think many people understand what happened in Memphis last night with Conley being traded away.
That big trade.
Exactly. Huge trade for a guy that's been there for a long time. He leads that team in points, games played, assists.
Yep.
Yes. So that was a big trade for them with that massive contract. The three guys at UT, right now, all three of them are projected second-round picks. And mm-hmm. Brayden and I have been discussing in regards to Bone and Williams. If indeed they are, more in particular, Williams, if indeed he is drafted in the second round, do you think it would be a disappointment, meaning had he stayed another year, would he have been a first-round pick? Not saying high first round, but maybe mid to late first round.
I think for him, it's a matter of fit. He's been the two-time SEC Player of the Year. His skill set is what his skill set is. He's a wide body who can create space, who can score in the low post, who has a nice mid-range game. You know, he might be able to extend his range a little bit. But you know, that's the player who he is. And whether he comes back next year or not, I can't see his draft status changing a whole heck of a lot. And so if he feels like there are teams that like him, that he fits in with, that, you know, he likes his chances enough to stay in, whether it's one or two, I can't really blame him, because I don't see him improving his draft stock. You know, Jordan Bone, you know, had a great combine from a performance aspect in the drills. And I think he heard some things that he liked. I think he could have changed his draft perception some by coming back next year, but he feels like he's ready and it's time. So he's going to do it. But Grant Williams, no, I just don't think he could change it enough to where it really matters.
I've watched a lot more NBA just television in general the last couple of days, just because, you know, the NBA draft's coming up and it's top of mind. There's a lot of Middle Tennessee talent. There's Tennessee Vols, Kentucky, Murray State, Belmont, a lot of guys going, potentially could have big nights tonight or be disappointed, whatever. Every time I see people, experts, outside of Nashville or outside of the SEC talk about Darius Garland, they just rave so much. I agree mm-hmm. with them. And the only thing this is not even a question, Corey, it's just sort of a thought. Every time I see these highlight packages of Darius Garland, I'm just sitting there going, what if? What if?
Yeah.
What if? Because that guy could have been one of the best players in school history for a single season.
You know who else is saying that? Bryce Drew.
Yeah.
Because he'd still have a job. You know, how many games would he have led Vanderbilt to win over the zero that they did win in the league? I don't know. But he's a special player. And it's really interesting because what, he played five games? And I think before the injury, he was projected like 8 to 11 in the draft. And then after the injury, when the mock started to come out, he jumped up. And so they were concerned that, you know, the injury was going to hurt it. And they breathed a big sigh of relief when the first mock came out and he was in fact moving up. But I think it also goes to show you the change of the NBA where it's not as much of a big man league now as it is it's a shooter's league now. And, you know, Darius has a nice stroke. He's got long range that's probably going to get longer. He's got a really nice, you know, kind of dribble step back jumper that he can take. He can strongly go to the basket. You know, he's you know, the ESPN made the comparison. I think it's a really good one with Damian Lillard. You know, he's going to score a lot of points in this league. And, you know, that's the way the league is headed. So it would make sense to me that this is the guy that you would want to target.
Now, it's going to be a ghost town for the players here with the Tennessee Titans. These guys, they did their mini camps. They're off, and they won't be back until, I think, late July. The whole Marcus Mariota contract situation, and I think what happens is because of these contracts are going up and up and up, if Marcus does redo a deal before the season ends, or if he does one after the season ends, where do you think the number is? Would it be a sticker shock to folks if the number was 27, possibly 28, knowing that, you know, in two or three more years after that contract is done, he can go from being the seventh highest paid quarterback to the 14th highest paid quarterback?
Yeah, you're exactly right. And no matter what the number is, it's going to be sticker shock. I mean, it's sticker shock now at 20 for people because, let's face it, these quarterback salaries have just jumped and jumped in a hurry. So, I mean, it's sticker shock for me when Russell Wilson, what's he getting, $35
million? Mm-hmm.
And what did Carson Wentz get, 32? I mean, I wrote something about 2 weeks ago, I think, where I said, what would be, you know, because Carson Wentz called his deal a win-win. What would be a win-win for Mariota and the Titans if they wanted to do something now? I know that they're going to wait and see, but if they wanted to do something now, I thought like $28 million a year would be a win-win for both because Marcus gives them a discount, you know, so that they're not up. Because if Marcus has a big year, he's not going to come back for $28 million. Mm-hmm. He's going to get more. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, if he plays 16 games, they go to the playoffs and he puts up big numbers, he's going to get a lot of money. So this is an opportunity if you really believe in him and you believe in the parts that you put around him, you know, I would say to try to get him for less. And you could save yourself some money and he could take the pressure off of himself for the season and go play. But if he is back with the Tennessee Titans next year, it means things went reasonably well this year. And I can't see it being for less than $27, $28 million going into next season.
Yep. I agree, Corey. I'd re-sign him right now for 28. Corey, thank you so much, man. We appreciate it.
All right, thank you. Tell Nick I hope he's feeling well. I mean, I know the golf courses are really squishy this morning.
Yeah, it's a little wet.
Ball's probably plugged.
Yeah.
But just tell him to hang in there.
But the greens are slow, so he's good. He's good. Thank you, Corey.
That's right. So am I.
Absolutely. We'll be right back. In fact, Derek's going to take Nick to task when we come back. Morning Drive. Welcome back. Morning Drive. Nick Cale out. So what does that mean, Derek Mason?
Fair game, baby.
Yep.
You are fair game.
Want to go to this year's ESPYs? How about play in an Apex Legends Pro-Am event with two big names? That's something Josh Upton wants to do. Go to ebay.com/ESPN to donate for a chance to win.
There you go.
In the middle of a read.
Yeah, I'm sorry. My computer's all whacked out.
3, 2, 1. Go to ebay.com/ESPN to donate for a chance to win. It all benefits the V Foundation for Cancer Research. Go to ebay.com/ESPN for more information and complete rules. A lot of good stuff on there. And obviously the V Foundation has done a ton of work to help cure or solve the cancer problem. Nick Cale's out today. Chase McCabe's out today. We've rattled or we've railed on Chase a little bit because, again, they went up – if you didn't know the story, they went up to Gatlinburg, 14 dudes, to stay in a cabin.
10 beds.
They don't check in until this afternoon. But they're all going up there yesterday. So they were going to a casino 2 hours past their cabin to go to a casino. First of all, who is driving them? That's a concern I have. So they're going 2 hours past the cabin to go to a casino for the entire evening. Sounds miserable to me. So I don't know where Chase is. We still have we reached out to Chase? Have we gotten any, like, again?
Any feedback or
there's
anything?
Nothing. You've called and texted, and there's no response.
Yep. Called and texted at, like, 6:15.
Well, have you reached out again?
No, I'm not going to keep bothering him, man.
Keep bothering him.
I will bother him.
Yes, Chase,
I will bother
Derek
him.
Will bother him. All right, yeah. But Nick Hale also out. So Nick Hale has been free from insult and injury so far today on the show.
Yes, he has been.
That will end right now, Derek.
That will end right now. See, okay, here's the deal. Nick understands that, you know, when you miss a day, for whatever reason, man, it could be, I don't care what reason it is, we will find a way to come at you.
So when I leave early because my daughter is vomiting. Mm-hmm. And
no, that's different.
Do you guys rip on me when I leave?
No, because you had already been here.
Okay.
And then you leave. But we rip on each other if you don't start the morning off in your seat.
Right.
That's when you get ripped.
A no-show.
Yeah. When you are a no-show, for legitimate reasons, when you are a no-show, then you open yourself up to get, you know, get ripped.
Yeah, that's fine.
As we are going to do with Nick Hale.
That's probably something Chase was doing last night, by the way.
Absolutely. So, you know, it comes a point of time, you know, during the evening where I think all three of us, you know, you especially because you got your kids, where you put the phone down and you say, you know what, I'm getting away from the world and I am going to sleep.
For me, it's 3:30 to 7 o'clock is when I'm with my kids.
Exactly.
I pick them up from daycare and then they go down to bed before 7 o'clock. That I don't look at the phone. I don't respond to Nick's 4,000 text messages.
Yeah, yeah.
That is when I am, like, with the family. And then after that, it's when I have a chance to sit down and watch whatever's on TV.
Exactly.
or prep for the show the next morning or whatever. So that's my window.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I have my window, whatever that window is. But I typically, at a certain point in time at night, certain point, whether it's 10 o'clock, 9:30, 11 o'clock, 10:30, I put the phone to the side and I'm shutting myself down to go to sleep. I think that's where we all are at,
yeah,
around that time.
I tried to go to bed earlier than that, but it doesn't work.
But
it doesn't
work that way. So I didn't look at my phone. I'm pretty sure you didn't look at your phone either.
Nope.
So wake up.
3:17 a.m., by the way, is
3:17,
we'll
get a text. By this time, my phone is on Do Not Disturb. There are only certain people that can get through when my phone's on Do Not Disturb. And sad to say, you guys are not on that list. I mean, I love you guys, but you guys are not on that list. You know, it's for immediate family. So my phone doesn't ring or go off at a certain time of the night because I want to sleep because I know I got to wake up at 4:30. So I get up this morning, as you did, and I noticed after I brush my teeth, feed the dog, let him out. So it's around 5-ish, by 5:05, somewhere around there, 5:10. I noticed that there's a message from the group, and it's from Nick Hale. And the message says, and I'm going to paraphrase here because I don't have it in front of me, fellas, I've been up since 11 o'clock. Mind you, he sent the text at 3:17, I think. Fellas, I've been up since 11 o'clock.
Yeah. Four hours.
Yeah, 4 hours. And I've been in the office back and forth since 11 o'clock. I won't be able to make it this morning. I am sorry. Okay, so we get the message. And you know, I think we do a fairly good job at, you know, prepping for the show and making sure everything is done. So when we come in here, everything's fine, unless we have something you guys want to throw in or something comes up, you just kind of throw it in. But Nick, I think you need to really pay attention to what you're eating or drinking, because that's the only reason why a person, not even a man, a person is back and forth to the office.
It's
for
the
4 hours.
It's also the only reason he ever calls in sick.
Exactly. So there's
Same
something
reason.
That you are eating or drinking that is causing your stomach to be turned upside down.
Well, but there's multiple reasons you could be going to the office.
Yeah. We know he's not manscaping. It's too late.
No, he told us all about
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
That was last weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. So we know he's not manscaping.
Disgusting, by the
exactly.
way.
Exactly. So, Nick, I think you need to reevaluate your diet, so to speak.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you on this. Now, also, and I don't ever, because Nick is very he's very passionate about, if you are sick and under the weather, do mm-hmm. not come to work. And I think that's a good method. I think that's a
but
smart
that's
way to
only
be.
If you have a if
you're contagious.
Cold,
right.
contagious, yes.
And I share a microphone with Jared Stillman. So, like, if he's contagious, uh-huh. I'm going to beat him up, and he's coming to work. Like, yeah. He shouldn't. You should stay home. Everybody in every office, if you're contagious with something, you should be staying at home mm-hmm. if you're not feeling up to it. I don't fault anybody for that. There's no question about that. But these things with Nick, it's like, it happens late at night. Mm-hmm. He texts us. He's gone for a day, and then he's fully healthy again the next day. It's like the Larry Brown flu
uh-huh.
that all NFL defensive back, all the defensive players would get the week they had to play the Cowboys. Like, oh man, I'm hurting. My hammy's hurting. Oh, I got the Larry Brown flu. I didn't want to get blocked by Larry Brown for 60 minutes.
There you go.
So it is interesting that you're doing some research here on yeah. this, and that you're tying all of his sicknesses together.
Yeah, you need to keep some Tums in your pocket. You know, maybe even wear a diaper to work. I don't know. You know, I mean, do something. But Nick, you have to reevaluate. I think you have to take a serious look at your diet. You really do.
I don't disagree with you, but I think you've gone too far with this
with
one,
the diaper.
Derek. I think you've gone too far with this one. The man is sick right now. He's probably in bed. He's probably agonizing.
No, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Do you think he's still eating whatever it is that put him in that position?
It's frozen sausage biscuits. That's what it is.
You think?
He eats like a frozen sausage biscuit every morning. Takes it out of the freezer, puts it in the microwave. That is a dangerous way to live life. Yeah. Just saying.
Unless
they want to advertise on the show. Then it's
fine. It could be. I don't know. Do you think he's eating TV dinners?
I don't know, but
because his wife is not there. They're in the process of moving here from Philly.
I stay out of the frozen aisle. I stay on the outside of the grocery
store. So he can't be eating
outside.
Good food. He just can't be. Because Nick can't do anything by himself. So I'm not. You're not going to make me believe that he's cooking.
You're right about that.
He's eating horrible food.
There's no chance he's
cooking. He's Pop-Tart for dinner.
Probably.
So, Nick, I know you're listening. I know you are. You need to reevaluate your diet, brother.
And the segment.
Or go get a colonoscopy.
A what?
A colonoscopy.
Colonoscopy?
Yeah. It's like a colonoscopy and a catastrophe.
Yeah. A colonoscopy.
This
you
segment,
need your colon cleanse, man.
Oh, my God. Okay, we're going to go to break. I don't even have any comments. It's hard to make me speechless. So I'm going to go to break here. And when we come back, Josh Upton will start talking a lot more, thank God. So stick to sports when we come back. Welcome back. Morning Drive. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, no Nick Cale. You just learned all about too much information about Nick Cale from Derek Mason. Chase McCabe out as well on Brodeo 2019. I still have not gotten any text messages back from Chase. I just reached out to him to see if he could confirm a report that is floating out there that he has passed out at an all-you-can-eat shrimp buffet in a casino. Have not heard back yet. Josh Upton, let's stick to sports.
The world is a crazy place.
Crazy sounding pretty good right now.
Let's lighten the mood.
After all that seriousness, you're just going to crumple it up and throw it in the trash.
Basically.
And stick to sports. Now, on Morning Drive.
People, as we do every day, Stick to Sports is brought to you by Decorating Den Interior. Stick with the pros. No amateurs here. No little leagues. No nothing but pros. At Decorating Den, when you're ready to decorate your home, office, outdoor spaces, or studio, request a complimentary, which is free in this world, appointment online at decoratingden.com.
Number one.
A calendar. A shade. A calendar has already been developed.
I didn't realize calendars were so funny.
For potential future settlement on Mars. 24 months in a year. 27 or 28 days a month. Will we ever get to put this calendar to use?
Not in my lifetime, I know that.
Oh, don't say that. You're so young.
I know I'm young, and I plan on living until I'm 108.
He can't, well, you, it's down from 120. I thought you were going to 120.
Nah, I'm 108.
Okay.
Been a rough year.
Been a rough last couple of weeks.
I don't know. I think anything after like 92 is just... It's just not
icing
worth
on
it.
The cake.
It's just not worth it after that.
I'm gonna be still.
Ain't no dignity. Ain't no dignity after 92.
I'm gonna still drive.
Yeah, as long as you're
wearing
passing,
Hanes.
You better be passing a driving test every year. In fact, I think everyone over the age of 75 should have to pass a driving test every single year.
Yeah, you might be right about that. I think you're right. I say past 50.
I don't.
That's just me.
You're saying that somebody is suggesting that we are going to colonize Mars in 2 years?
Whoa, no, I didn't say 2 years.
Or journey to Mars.
You're just saying
the calendar has been developed for potential future settlement at some point. The calendar will be, if we were to live on Mars, our calendar would be 24 months long.
Oh, I follow you. You did not explain that well at all. Will the calendar, like the days and the months of the year, be like? Should we be living on Mars? Is what you're saying?
No,
Will we ever use it?
The question is, I'm just describing the calendar.
Yeah.
The question is, basically, will we ever live on Mars and live with this 24-month calendar?
Again, I plan on living until I'm 108. I don't think in my lifetime, no.
I'm with you. I don't think. It might take us 50 years just to fly to Mars.
So
I'm not even kidding. Like that's.
I'm going to say a hard no.
Mars is so much further away than the moon, and like it's really long way away. That's what I was wondering, if you were saying the calendar to get to Mars or the calendar that we would use when we lived on Mars.
It's the calendar we'll use when we live on Mars.
Gotcha. Yeah,
and
ain't happening.
And when.
That ain't
happening. It's not happening, brother.
Well, I mean, we're going to have a space army, though. That's good.
We'll be able to defend Mars.
But not live on Mars.
Should we be able to ever get there?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Nope.
Cool.
Professionals who walk on hot coals and glass have come to a consensus that stepping on Legos is more painful than both of those. You guys ever step on a Lego?
Oh, heck yeah.
Oh, my goodness. It hurts.
Oh, it's the worst thing in the world.
Oh, my goodness. That is the worst pain.
It's awful.
You're saying every word imaginable. Once you step on every bad word, you might even invent some words when you step on a Lego.
Kelly Clarkson.
basically, because a lot Absolutely. Of times you're around the kids, uh-huh. or in my case, like in the playroom, mm-hmm. which is outside of their two bedrooms. If they're already asleep, I sure as heck can't be screaming anything because I need them to stay asleep.
Exactly.
You invent some stuff. I would rather walk on coals than walk on a pile of Legos.
That Lego, True story. Those Legos are, man, they're vicious.
Because I don't know the technical analysis of how you walk on coals, but isn't it that you move so fast that like the heat dies when you step? It's all about like oxygen and how the flame actually dies when you step on it or something like that. I don't know. I've never done it.
So you're snuffing the fire as you walk?
Kinda. Something along those lines. There's like skin and coefficients of friction. I don't know, Josh.
I think when you walk into a room with Legos, for some strange reason, I think the Legos have a mind of their own. And they move into the pathway that you're walking in just so you can step on them. I believe that. I truly do. Legos are alive.
I've seen the movies.
You turn the lights out.
Exactly.
Yeah. There's a Batman in there, too.
Exactly.
Number 3.
Michael Jackson reportedly almost bought Marvel so that he could play Spider-Man. Would Michael Jackson have made a good Spider-Man?
No.
No, not at all. Would he have to say something?
No.
I wouldn't have took him serious with his voice. I come to save y'all. And I'm like, Michael, huh? And his dude is covered up. No, Michael wouldn't work.
I don't even have to say anything else to this, do I? Like, like Michael Jackson protecting innocent people? Yeah, I don't think so.
Number 4.
I don't think
can't
so.
Can't go that way.
Yeah, I can. Yeah, I can.
No,
go
no,
that
no,
way.
No. I'm not
I've
saying
the documentary.
I'm saying like I couldn't see Michael as a Spider-Man.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I can't see him as a Spider-Man for a number of reasons. Yeah. Who do you want to see as Spider-Man? Because they're going to keep remaking that stupid thing every single 2 years.
Exactly. I don't know.
We got a pretty solid Spider-Man right now.
Who's that?
Tom Holland, I think his name is.
Who the hell is that?
He's good.
Yeah.
Have you not seen any of the movies?
I think they've changed.
Like any
Spider-Man.
Movie or just Spider-Man?
No, any of the more recent Marvel movies? Civil War, Infinity War, Endgame, Spider-Man?
I've seen Infinity War because it was on the Netflix.
Endgame was good.
I have not seen Endgame because I have to go to the theater. Derek goes to movies. I do not go to movies. I will not pay to go watch a movie, Spider-Man, that I've seen 14 different times by 14 different directors and actors. I am not a sheep. I will not pay to see that crap.
He's in Infinity War. Yeah, that's it. Tom Holland.
That's the he's the young kid, right?
Yeah.
Cool.
Hmm.
All right.
Why is the Endgame 3.5 hours? By the way, too. Do we need a 3.5 hour movie?
Yeah, you do.
Oh,
it's all on the line, man.
Okay.
Whatever. The fate of the universe. You can't save the universe in under 3 hours.
We can't even get to Mars, Josh. Come on.
That's a fair point.
One more.
If you were a pirate, what would your pirate name be?
Arr.
Didn't see that one coming.
That's not a good name.
Dark. There it is. Dark.
I mean, Jack Sparrow's a pretty good pirate
name. It's already taken, though.
I'm just saying it's a good pirate name. They did a good job with that one, developing that character. Although I believe that what's-his-face that plays Jack Sparrow is, I believe that he wrote the drunken part into the script. I think he was just a pirate in those movies, and the drunken part was because
that's
he
what
was,
made it funny.
Because he was just
then Johnny Depp saved that movie,
right?
Yeah,
dude, I'm not gonna lie, I have a bizarre love of the first Pirates of the Caribbean. It's not a normal thing for me to like that kind of movie, and I love that movie. Also, Keira Knightley, strong.
Mm. Oh yeah, my pirate name. I don't know. Do we have to use our first name? Derek Woodleg.
That is so funny. For so many reasons.
No, you don't have to use your first name, but Derek Woodleg is a good one. And it's scary. They hear you coming. That's all Woodleg.
There we go.
I'll just be Brandon. Just go by Brandon. I have no good pirate name.
Brandon One Eye.
There you go. I don't think that one was a good
one. One-eyed Brandon.
That's not a good one either.
Lead arm Brandon. Hook hand Brandon.
You're just taking body parts off of me now.
Parent shoulder adding, Brandon.
You're just adding utensils to my body after taking parts of my body away.
Oh, man.
Funny hat Brandon.
There we go.
Old steel hand.
Steel hands.
That's a good
yes.
one.
There we go.
Oh, steel.
We got Woodleg and steel hand. We're gonna go to break now. That was Stick to Sports, brought to you by Decorating Day. Josh, good work. We'll be right back.